Welcome to The Precinct and The Practice, where the conversation is free, but this talk ain't cheap. Broadcasting from a studio in the North CTE Law and Public Safety Center and streaming on NPS Voices. I'm your host, Miss Alexis Love. Consider this your first warning. We're going in. Welcome, everybody, to The Precinct and The Practice. This is a podcast from North High School Career and Technical Education. We are live at the Giving Voices Conference, Giving Voice Conference, and I'm excited to be introducing my co-hosts. I have Azalea. Wave your hand, Azalea.
Hi.
And I have Sanai.
Hello.
And I have Muhammad, MJ. Ooh. And we are excited to be interviewing Captain David Carson from the Minneapolis Fire Department. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to say, what's up, Giving Voice Conference? Make some noise if you're ready to see what the future of Minneapolis looks like. So I'm your host, Alexis Love, and I've already introduced my co-hosts and my guests. So today we're exploring the architecture of a rescue. We're joined by a man who started with a vision in 2013, and he spent 7 years in on the front lines before moving into leadership. He is an EMT, a youth intervention specialist, and currently serves as the staff captain of community risk reduction for the Minneapolis Fire Department, and that's David Carson. Applause. Captain, it's an honor to have you. And you've said before that you spoke your childhood dream into reality for the students in this room, looking at their own dreams. What was the very first practice you had to master to make that dream come true?
Man, that's so what I meant by I spoke this this career, this dream of being a firefighter into reality. I wanted to be a firefighter since I was 6 years old. It was something that I had a desire to do. Actually, it was based on an event, but that's a little longer thing. But for me, it was a thought, an action, but the action didn't take place till like 40 years later. I actually had a group of firefighters come into a program that I was a part of, a fatherhood program. I was a single parent at the time, and talk about being a firefighter. And that spark reignited. The pun, you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
And it took me 7 years from the time that I actually was basically recruited or talked again about firefighting and what it entailed until I actually got onto the department. And so during that time, I spoke it into existence literally. Every single day, I said, I'm gonna be a Minneapolis firefighter. So I was specific with that. It wasn't, I'm gonna be a firefighter. I was specific in what I said. I had little kids at the time. And I told them, I told my family, I told my friends, I told everybody. And I sometimes, I feel that we can, attract what we really want by what we say that come out our mouth. And it was funny, by as soon as I started thinking and believing it, literally I'd be at the gym and I'd see somebody with a fire outfit on or a shirt, or I'd be at the gas station. It was like I was attracting that. So that's what I mean, like I basically manifested that to come to pass by saying it every single day. Now there was obstacles, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of huge obstacles, but I believe I spoke my career into existence.
Awesome. Okay, so I heard you say something about you having obstacles along the way, and that was one of my questions. What were some obstacles that you overcome when you were in the process of becoming captain?
For me, the main obstacle is that I had a background, and so I never thought, I thought I forfeited that right of being a firefighter based on my past as a young man. And so how was I going to overcome that obstacle? Because there's a lot more that entails if somebody has a background trying to get into the fire service. That was the main one. Another one, I was a single parent, a single father, three kids. At the time, I was still struggling with child support. I was still struggling with just trying to maintain my own family at the time. So it was those. But I had a good support system. And so the obstacles made it easy. My faith made it easy. The things I was doing made it easier, I should say. Great question, though.
Has there ever been a defining moment in your career that changed the way you approach your work in the community?
I don't know about change, like what changed how I work in the community or is with the fire department. I think once I became a firefighter and this was my career, I discovered that this was my true purpose. And my true purpose was giving back to the community. My true purpose was helping others. I'm sure you young people heard people say that, you know, when you get older, you'll discover your purpose. Well, I think my purpose is helping other people. And when I do show up at different scenes, I have the skill sets for basic EMT service, but what I bring there is also a calm. What I bring there is also that sense of touch. Well, I usually touch people that are going through trauma and letting them, just that feeling, bringing, not coming scared or nervous, but that feeling of it's going to be okay without verbally saying that.
So I have a question for you. So do you personally mentor students who are interested in pursuing a career in the fire services? If so, what does that look like for you?
Not necessarily mentor services. I direct them to how to become a firefighter. I tell them the pros and cons from my personal experience. I've been on 14 years, got on in 2013. It did take me 7 years to get to the position I'm at now. And during my current position, that's what I do. I go out and help recruit future firefighters, or either talk about the pathway programs we have or explore programs that we do have in the fire service. And I'm very honest and upfront, you know, we see a lot of trauma, but with the type of services that we give, it's not all firefighting. 85% of what we do is medical. So that's nosebleeds, dog bites, bee stings, car accidents, strokes, heart attacks, gunshots, overdoses. I think I said that already. And then we also deliver babies. So, yeah, that's just one day. That's just a couple hours.
Wait. Slow down. So somebody calls the fire department behind a bee sting?
Yes.
Really?
Because there's anaphylactic shock. I'm allergic to bees. So I walk around with the EpiPen. Now, why I don't have it in my pocket now is because I haven't seen too many bees yet. But
right. Okay, that makes sense. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are good questions. What are the biggest pros then?
I think the biggest pros is for me anyway is service. I think giving back. I feel with the position or how I you know, was transparent and shared that, you know, my youth and my adulthood was, or my young adulthood was kind of rocky, and me trying to find myself. And once I got on the department, and man, it's just, you know, not only the community looked at me different, but my family also, you know what I mean? And like, it's one of those things that I feel like a gift of service that I get to give back every single day. I've been on 14 years, not one day I've been like, oh man, I gotta go into work. Not one day. Like I would do this for free, to be honest with you, you know, if I could add another stream of income, because I just love people. Now the position I'm at now, I no longer deliver babies or have been a part of delivering babies or I don't do emergency service anymore. I'm actually in an office. Not a lot, but I have an office, but I mostly go into the community and teach fire safety to the elderly, to the young, to schools, and I do a lot of career fairs, so.
That's dope.
So when you were promoted to captain, what became your biggest goal as a captain?
I think to learn the craft of how can I share good, sound advice of how people can be safe. I think there's a lot of us. I grew up, I'm kind of old, probably the oldest one in the room, but I grew up with a family, I'm talking extended family, to where we heated our house with the stove. with boiling food on the stove, an eye on all the time with some hot water or soup with the door cracked. I mean, the window cracked. And it wasn't until I got on the fire department that I was like, you can't do that, you know, at all. The carbon monoxide will kill you, right? Uh-huh. But my aunties, my grandma, my mom, everybody in my family seemed like, because we were indigent, we didn't have much. So that's kind of a way that we did it. And so growing up, seeing different things that wasn't okay, that I knew wasn't okay, like, okay, the smoke alarm goes off, we do not just unplug it and take it down and hope to put it up later. So now I'm able to tell people, like, no, we don't do that. You know what I mean? And hopefully it sticks.
I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Our family did that. It would start beeping at you. Just unplug it. I won't do that anymore, sir. So as a first responder, you often would arrive at chaotic scenes where a life needs saving. But a legal investigation is also going on at the same time. So how do you and your crew, how would y'all balance the boots on the ground urgency of a medical rescue with the procedural rigor of ensuring you don't compromise a potential crime scene for, like, law enforcement?
Okay, so when I hear that question, I'm thinking of if it was something of violence, whether mm-hmm. it was an assault, or shooting or stabbing or something violent, even domestic, the police have to show up first. And okay. then they get on the radio and say code 4. So if we go to a scene, we try to get as close to the address as possible. And then we pull over and park until the police say it's okay. Then we go into the scene. If it's something like preserving evidence, then the police would probably stay there already. They wouldn't leave the scene, so it's not about disturbing the crime scene, but I've been on different calls where it definitely was a crime scene, and actually it was a death, and we don't touch nothing. We just touch the individual or individuals to make sure they, you know, if they got a pulse or not, if they got any kind of pulse or cold, then we'd work them mm-hmm. if they're not cold. So,
okay.
So yeah, that's kind of, when you talk about legal, making sure that we don't disturb anything, then we do have certain procedures that we have to follow.
Okay, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. What pressures, are there some realities of being a firefighter that people don't see or understand from the outside?
I think any first responder, I think being able to, I'm an empath, and I think it's funny. I think that there's a lot of empathic people that get into the fire service or get into the services of helping others. And I think it affects me different. I think all calls I'm affected with it when somebody's harmed or bleeding or a medical situation goes on. But for me, more I really, really feel when it's youth or children. And with that being said, we at the Minneapolis Fire Department, we have counselors or therapists on call that are there during the workday, and then we're able to access that through our insurance and whatnot. So it's really pushed that we take care of ourselves mentally. And I think that's super important. So I think a lot of the calls can get heavy. The day can get heavy, seeing it over and over and over again. But, you know, we might go to a scene and somebody's, you know, passes or has crossed over already. And then the next thing you know, the next call or a couple calls later, we're delivering a baby. So it's the full cycle. I think there's another that wears on us is just the amount of calls. So if any of you guys live in Hennepin County, you know that the fire department usually shows up if it's a medical call. And it's wise because we have 19 stations throughout the city of Minneapolis, and we can get there quicker or in a timely manner. There's only so many ambulances. So we're EMT, we're first responders. We can show up. We can kind of get that person together or individuals together, whatever that basic medical need might be. And then when the ambulance come, if it's more, then we help the ambulance along, like going the ambulance, help them out, and maybe even drive. If it's CPR, go with the ambulance, inside the ambulance and bring them to the trauma unit or whatnot. But yeah, we work coincide together. But I think I would say just the call, the number of calls and then the stuff we see.
So I had a question, because I know that you stated, like, you guys are sometimes the first responders, and like it may be a crime scene or like a medical like situation. So how does that like compare and contrast you to like ambulance?
So the ambulance, I mean, they're paramedics, so their medical ability is a lot more. So they have like, we have AED, so we can help somebody help start their heart, but they would take over. So once the ambulance arrive, if it's a severe enough medical emergency, they would take over. We would just assist them at that time, if that makes sense. So our ability, like whatever it is, if it's a heart attack, if it's a stroke, if overdose, whatever that may be, we have the basic skill sets of life-saving skills for that individual, but there is even more than that. So they have medicine to give somebody if they had a heart attack, to help pull them through. We'd stay there and work. If it was a heart attack, we'd stay there and work that individual if they went unconscious. They just have like Lucas machines that'll help pump their heart once we're all there tired pumping, you know what I mean? So like it's a lot, you know, mm-hmm. CPR is a lot. So depending what the medical emergency is, they take it to a whole nother step. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I have one. In the practice of public safety, so a rescue doesn't always end when the patient reaches the hospital, right? So it sometimes it continues into the courtroom. So can you share how your medical intervention or your observations during a high-pressure call have transitioned from a split-second decision into a piece of legal evidence or a testimony, if that makes any sense?
Kind of, but as a firefighter, I don't know if I'm equipped to really speak on that, because we got different ranking systems. So okay. That'd be more of a captain or a chief or assistant chief or a deputy chief, or the fire investigators. They go to the court often, so that would be kind of geared towards them. When you use the word rescue, that's kind of like, I think our day-to-day calls are not called rescues. It's more of like a service, because not everybody's being rescued. Like you said, some, it might be a dog bite. You know, mm-hmm. They might, more likely they'll go, but it they'll go to the hospital, but it's more than that. If I was a captain and somebody got bit by a dog, for example, of course, it'd be my job to call the dog catcher, right, the animal mm-hmm. control, to see if we can find a dog, if they got a description of a dog, in case the dog has rabies, if that
okay.
makes sense.
Yes.
So there's other steps we do to make sure that the scene is and the person is taken care of, because you really don't want to have them 10 rabies shots with needles that long if you don't have to, if that makes sense. So there's some calls that are, you know, definitely legal. And I think that'd be geared towards more of fire investigation. So they investigate every single fire. The fire investigators doing some make it to court, some don't. Some make it to, you know, most all of them go into insurance. So there's that part, if that makes sense.
It does. Yep. Thank you. Yes. Wow. Is that all our main questions? I'm going to turn it to the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to ask Captain Carson a quick question or two? Anybody that can think of anything? Otherwise, we're going to go to our lightning round. We got a lightning round of questions for him. Okay, how do you think about the interview so far, studio audience, with the show of hands, a round of applause? What do you think so far? Thank you. All right. Do you have any questions for us at all, and Captain Carson, anybody in a panel, or you have anything that you want to ask us before we move on to our lightning round?
You know, you guys are great interviewers. Is this like talk show or radio or is TV something in your guys' future or career possibly? Or
not as of right now, but I do watch a lot of podcasts and a lot of interviews and things like that. So sure.
Yeah, no, I thank you for your guys' questions. I'm, you know, super nervous. I don't know if you see my leg down here shaking pretty hard, but... Yeah.
Well, our media, we have a lot of media students here, and okay. This might be their thing too. They're really talented. So I like to give all the students in the three classes of photography, media, and broadcasting, and then my class, I tied them together because there's so many ways that students could go in this. They could be like, oh my God, I'm interested in this and this. And there's ways to merge your different career paths or start on one and end up in another. Life's for all of us, so you never know where you can end up. And if you're curious about something, I never thought I'd be doing a podcast, but I introduced it for my class, and now I'm loving it. And you know, but that's kind of my personality too. I like to talk, so if you haven't noticed. So we're gonna move to our lightning round. Y'all got your questions ready?
Real quick, Miss Love. So it's interesting. In the fire department, I currently work in administration, but one that would normally give these interviews or do a podcast would be our acting chief right now. She's actually our public information officer also. So she's working three roles. She's an assistant chief, but she got bumped up to the chief because our last chief retired. Mm-hmm. And so when I was asked to do this podcast, I had to go up the chain of command to ask, because normally I wouldn't do any public speaking at all. So this is actually my first podcast ever. So I'm going to download it and keep this one.
And I would love to interview Captain Rucker. Chief Rucker. I would love to interview her. So she's going to be next on my list.
She got a powerful story.
Yeah. So congrats. Like, I'm proud of you. So who wants to take the first one? Because we're going to go kind of fast. You have 10 seconds to answer each question.
I can.
Okay.
Okay, so the mentality. You spoke about your dream to reality, but if you haven't been a firefighter, what was plan B?
So I would say being a firefighter, you have the luxury of time. So you really, as a firefighter, Minneapolis firefighter, you only work 10 days a month. 10 days a month, that's 2 days a week, 109 days a year. So if it's awesome, so it's an awesome job. I'm just putting that plug out there. Me personally, besides this, I also mentor young people, and then I also work for Three Rivers Park District, so bringing families into the park. So those are the other two jobs I have. But yeah, so besides firefighting.
Okay. Do you prefer coffee, a smoothie, or a fancy latte?
Tea.
Oh.
Yeah, I just quit coffee. I got a relationship here and there, but it's kind of, So okay. Right now it's tea.
Tea, okay.
Yep.
Will you take off your uniform at the end of the day, what is one thing you want people to remember about you?
When I retire, you mean? Or at the end of
daily.
The day? Daily? Well, I think my personality, I bring smiles and giggles wherever I go. I try to brighten up rooms. I try not to bring my own personal stuff into work each and every day.
That's good. I see y'all going out of order. What are you doing?
We got to specify next time.
Okay. Go ahead, Azalea.
For the shift, do you prefer early morning drills or a 2 a.m. emergency call?
So I'm administration. The shift has multiple calls throughout the day. So some shifts are super busy and some shifts are not, depending on where you're located. We got 19 stations. Some stations are super busy. The most calls I've ever been on in a 24-hour period is 31. And so sleep deprivation, being tired, trying not to be cranky, lots of coffee. Yeah.
Okay, what's harder to master, the physical grit of the firehouse or the procedural rigor of the EMT certification?
So the EMT certification, we get that right away in cadet school. For me, I actually went to a community nonprofit, culturally specific, American Indian OIC at the time, and I already enrolled in their EMT course before, as soon as I did that. So action. Once I did that, then I got my letter that I've been waiting for 7 years.
Wow.
And then once I got to the fire academy, I had to redo the EMT, like take it from them. it was a lot better. I was out of school for multiple decades before I went and took my EMT. So it was a little struggle, but I'm glad I didn't have to spell any of the words. I just had to memorize. So.
It's not a spelling test. It's good. Hey, if you don't like to spell, you can still be a fighter first. Okay. You want me to go? Next one?
Now I'll go. Besides your helmet, what is one piece of equipment you never leave the truck without?
As a firefighter, we all have an outer uniform, but depending on, like, this uniform that I have on now, class of dress, I should say, that I have on now would be for a medical. So if it was a medical, we wouldn't bring our helmet or have our fire boots or our turnout gear. But if it was a fire or if it was a car accident or something like that, if we were on the road, even gas emergencies, then we'd put on our full gear. So, yeah. And there's different tones at the fire station that tells us what are we getting ready to go to.
Mm. Go ahead, MJ.
Okay, so we know that, you know, we see on TV that firefighters be cooking in the kitchen, so we know we expect that in real life. So what is the best meal like you guys have ever made in the firehouse?
That we ever made or that I ever made? Because I'm a vegetarian, so.
Both.
Okay. With that being said, I'm actually a pescatarian now, but I've been a vegan vegetarian, haven't ate meat for so long. So it's interesting. We all have to come up with our own recipes, our own favorites. And my very first favorite to cook for the station was black olive spinach quiche. And there was some individuals there that they ain't never had quiche. They were like, what's this? You know. And, it was an easy meal. I made 4 pies, and it was like, I don't know. We got to try to keep it under a certain amount. But, yeah, they throw down in the stations. I mean, a little too much, if you ask me. I'm talking about desserts. There's people that just all out do their thing. But my favorite was quiche.
That's good. Okay. Anybody else?
Do I look like I cook quiche?
I don't even know what quiche is.
Look it up. It's good.
I know what quiche is. It's like an egg dish, yeah. But you could have a vegetarian one.
So would you say like it's potato salad?
No, it's nothing like potato salad. It's like an egg dish.
Like an egg bake.
Yeah, it's like an egg
bake. It's like an egg bake. But it's...
Yeah, that's how some of the crew was looking at me like, I don't know what this is. Can we get some meat in it next time?
But they liked it though.
They liked it though. Well, we just came from a fire, so they didn't eat for a while. So yeah, they were super excited to eat anything. So I did quiche in a salad, you know. So
I'm gonna make you a quiche. I'm gonna bring it. She knows I cook for the classroom. Yeah. I break stuff. Okay, let's see. Did we get them all?
No.
Which one are we missing? Since y'all went out of order.
The mission.
Okay.
In one word, what is the most important trait a North High student needs to join the Minneapolis Fire Department or any student?
In one word.
Oh, I'd say integrity.
Come on now. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Anybody have a question? Because we're about to wrap it up. No? Okay.
The good side.
I want to take a selfie before we end of this table because I'm so excited. This was really good. So let's pose for this selfie real quick. Oops. Let me see if I get it down though. Oh, yeah. I can do that. Huh? Do I need? Of course I need help, but I want it to look like a selfie and then you can come. All right, lean in, everybody. Because we, 1, 2, 3. Oh, this is great. Wait a minute, my face ain't even in. Okay, that was good. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Carson. Hey, Captain
got
Carson.
Got promoted, for
okay.
real.
Captain
thank
Carson.
You.
I enjoyed thank it. You. It was really great. Studio audience, thank you yes. for hanging with us. This is wonderful. This is wonderful, and I didn't bring my gavel, but we are out.